Professor Lupin tries to fuck a cat but gets cock-blocked by the Iceman from Top Gun. Marlon Brando forces a disabled black man into whiteface for the entire film. A human llama hybrid, complete with tits, gives birth in graphic detail. A woman is killed by hanging whilst Val Kilmer has a drug-fueled sex party with six titted pig women.
Funny, because behind the scenes, there was magic wizard rituals.
Nice.
Melting hand flesh.
Love this.
Drug-fueled sex parties with six-titted pig women.
Delicious.
And hurricanes. It can only be 1996's The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Hell yes. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast! How you doing, buddy?
Well, we're face to face because I live in Telford now.
It's odd. I'm in your house.
You're in my flat. Yeah.
In your house. This is odd.
And this is it's too intimate.
It's intimate, man.
I can't deal with the intimacy.
I'm too autistic for the eye contact, yeah. If I'm honest.
To be fair, this is why my laptop's off to a side.
Yeah.
I'll need to be reading my notes. I feel like there'll be a lot of me looking at my laptop.
I'll be looking directly at the side of your face.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Judging.
Because yours is on your lap.
Mine's on my lap.
This is great. How are you, bud?
Best I've been in a long time, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Feeling good, to be honest.
Because the sun shines out.
Maybe. Sun helps.
Sun helps. Yeah.
Way less stressed.
Good.
I can breathe, which is good.
Okay. Yeah.
Can breathe a bit.
Got both lungs working?
No.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for the fucking appointment on the other thing. They were like, yeah, we're going to rush it through. Don't worry about it. You need to panic.
Right.
And then I've just been ghosted by my doctor. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sick. Yeah, cheers.
What are we doing today, bud?
We are going to be doing The Island of Dr. Moreau.
We are. That's right. We are in 1996. Dolly the sheep just made history as the first cloned animal. Independence Day is making science sexy at the box office.
Yeah.
And the airwaves were polluted by that Three Fucking Lions song. So I thought we'd combine all themes of 1996 into The Island of Dr. Moreau, which contains cloning, sexy science, and three lion people, kind of.
Are there lion people?
It's very blurry, Ben.
Leopard people.
Cat people.
I feel like what you're saying right now could be considered racist for animal-human hybrids. Right?
Possibly.
At the top of the show, I'd like to
nip that
distance
in the bud.
Myself from nip that, that in statement. The butt.
Yeah. Fine. Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. But we're going to be answering all the hard questions.
Are we?
How the fuck did this get greenlit? And what went so wrong once it did?
In the week that Val Kilmer has died, is this really the part of his life that we want to shine a light onto?
Absolutely, yes. But most importantly, and I cannot stress this enough, why?
Why The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Just why?
Why is this?
Who sat down and was like, yep.
Oh, no, I've got that. I've got all of this.
Yeah, sick.
I know exactly how. I know. Once you know the circumstances of this thing's birth,
yeah,
it becomes painfully clear that this is all they were ever going to get.
Don't say birth.
I'm saying birth. No, we're full committed to the theme.
It's the llama scene now, man.
We've written a breakdown. I've not written it for anyone. This is a mental film. Mm-hmm. I think we just go back and forth. You read the first bit, I read the second bit, you read the third bit.
I'm in for this.
Because I've not done like a particularly spicy read or anything like that. It's just, you know.
I'm going to make it yellow.
Make it yellow. And so for those who haven't heard the show before, this is where we go through every event in the plot so that later on you know what we're talking about when we're analysing themes and talking about moments in the film. You know, you're on board. We know a lot of you are probably never going to watch this. You should, though. You should.
1,000%
you absolutely should.
After a plane crash in the South Pacific, UN negotiator Edward Douglas. Is that his name? Edward?
Yeah, Edward.
I thought his name was Douglas.
That's why he sparkles in the sunshine.
Oh.
He's got the eyes of a killer. The skin of a killer.
I was going to say. He's got the eyes of a dreamboat.
No one has ever said that about David Thewlis. He looks like a Halloween decoration.
He looks like... like someone stood on a rake too hard and gave it life. You know what I mean?
With his wet mouth.
Ugh. Oh, fucking don't.
Every line of dialogue in this film
is wet.
Delivered.
Yeah, don't. It's like it smacks his mouth so much. It's so fucking disgusting. I've got a whole thing on this.
Right, let's do the break. This is a shambles.
We're getting into it again. Hold on one sec. Douglas is our main character. Barely. Even though he does not appear on the poster... and is third on the cast list.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. There are reasons for this, which we'll get into.
Oh, there are reasons for everything in this film.
Is there?
Yeah. That's the mad thing.
Is there?
Yeah.
The island is home to the reclusive and mysterious scientist, Dr. Moreau, who has been conducting radical genetic experiments.
Yes.
Fucking animals is another way of putting that.
Right.
This character is played by a white corpse painted Marlon Brando wearing a caftan and scuba gear. No one asked Brando for this.
No, they didn't.
Not one person.
No.
No one in the audience.
No.
Or on the creative team.
No.
Just turned up like
he
this.
He genuinely did. He Amazing. Turned up to his first day on set, dressed like that, and went, "This is Moreau."
Love it.
And everyone, the director, everyone was like, "Well, no, we've got a costume." He's like, "No, this is me. I need some peacock feathers." And so I had to go and get peacock feathers.
That's fucking amazing. Douglas soon discovers that Moreau has been using advanced genetic engineering to splice human and animal DNA. Again.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Slow hanging fruit.
Sorry. All right. Forward. Yeah, I got you. Creating hybrid beings in an effort to achieve a utopian society.
Mm.
He discovers this by watching a Cronenberg monster giving birth to a llama human hybrid. Subtle stuff.
It is subtle stuff.
Subtle stuff.
Moreau maintains control over his creations using implanted pain inhibitors and a strict set of laws.
Fuck. Right off.
They're strict laws, Ben.
They're not strict laws. There's five. I have them.
You have to come
we'll
back
get into
to
it.
This. Okay?
We'll get into it.
Positioning himself as a godlike figure among the animals.
Yeah.
He has a tiny 17-inch tall clone child that follows him around everywhere and wears tiny versions of all of Marlon Brando's outfits.
Mini-Me.
Yeah, Mini-Me. This was the direct inspiration for Mini-Me. And clone Brando wasn't in the script for more than half a page until Brando saw him. And then demanded that every scene include tiny clone Brando.
Love
it. If I'm on screen, he needs to be next to me.
Awesome.
True fact. However, tensions begin to rise on the island when one of the hybrids discovers how to disable his implant, leading to a chain reaction of rebellion. Douglas becomes increasingly horrified by the ethical violations and the unstable, volatile environment, culminating in the murderous lynching of the panther woman he was planning on banging.
He just doesn't, though. He just doesn't. He's so accepting immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
He's like, oh, I guess we're just doing this then.
No fucking sense. Eventually, Moreau is killed by his own... Eventually.
Yeah.
I'm rephrasing that, sorry. One third into the film, Moreau is killed by his own creations.
Uh-huh.
And the island descends into chaos.
More than it was before.
Sure.
Because now they don't have laws, you see.
No, they do. This is the thing. I've got this. This makes no fucking sense. I'm telling you. The hybrids turn on Montgomery. Do they? Because they still kind of obey him a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's the whole drug-fueled sex orgy with Montgomery and
the pig
women.
That's not rebelling.
That's joining in.
Exactly. They're loving it. The hybrids turn on Montgomery and each other, and the societal structure that Moreau built rapidly crumbles.
Mm.
Douglas manages to escape and is rescued at sea. But the trauma of what he has witnessed haunts him.
This is all what they'd like you to believe.
This is so stupid. In the final moments, we cut to an overly sincere voiceover about man's beast-like nature, which frankly, the film surprisingly has not covered before this
point. It hasn't. It's got all the ingredients of a commentary about man's beast-like nature and what is society and what is God and what is man.
Mm-hmm.
But then it spends an hour and 40 minutes not really getting into any of that.
Yeah.
Just doing weird sci-fi nonsense. And then they obviously got to the last scene. They're like, oh, we should put some of that subtext in. Just get Thulis in to do a voiceover. I did not know if I was more beast than man when I left that island.
Okay, first off, having a Northern English person in any film is a difficult sell.
Right, it is, yeah.
Having someone from Yorkshire wash up on an island and go, my first time away from Yorkshire, I brought my own thermos, and these two men fought each other for my thermos. I fed them to the sharks.
Mother remarked I had not got the own brand biscuits she had asked me for.
Oh.
McVitie's were far too expensive by Mother's estimation. Alan Bennett reads poems of Dr. Moreau.
I can't stand him.
No,
I don't know what it is. As soon as he started talking, I was like, oh, you need to die real soon.
Well, I have to die real soon. I have a horrible confession. I watched the making of this film, which is a fundamentally far more enjoyable watch
than
the film itself. Because this film is bizarre animatronics and terrible CGI and facial prosthesis beast people. And if you've not seen this film, I don't know why I'm saying if you've not seen this film.
Go and watch it.
Go and watch it, but expect kind of Xena Warrior Princess level special effects.
Fuck off. Xena Warrior Princess is way better than this.
Right, right.
Are you joking?
This is people with like party masks from a Halloween shop.
Barely silicon masks.
Right, yeah, right.
It's a mask with a bit of dog fur on the side.
Yeah, and then it's like,
that's Ron Perlman as a goat man.
Right, and so I was like, this is bizarre because there's really rich subject matter. And then I watched the documentary, the director, Richard Stanley. He is to me what I am to you. I look at him and I go, look at this posh wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got a really posh accent and he wears like cloaks and he's got like books everywhere. He lives in an old house.
Right.
Now, as I'm sat here describing this man to you, I'm aware we're sat in an old house.
Surrounded by books.
With books.
Yeah. You're wearing a cape.
I'm not wearing... Oh, okay, yeah. You promised you wouldn't mention the cape. You promised you wouldn't mention the cape, Ben.
Yeah, I got
it. But anyway... I get it now. I get the street magician thing because I look at this guy and I'm horrified by what I see.
Okay.
But he was also the director before he directed this.
Yeah.
Of two absolute classics. One was The Dust Devil, which is an Australian horror about a sort of beast from the desert that comes out and is like a killer of women.
Okay.
And basically like paints the interior, does interior design with woman blood, basically. Horrifically graphic, Aboriginal horror story. Mint.
Aboriginal horror.
Yeah.
That's a niche market.
Isn't it? That's but a like niche now market. When you hear the words, you're like, that's going to be mint.
I
want
to watch it. Yeah, I want to watch it.
Nature demons coming to fuck you up. That's yes,
sick.
Please.
That is sick.
And then the other one was Hardware.
Hardware I've seen many, many years ago when I was a kid.
Right.
It's the fucking weird android head that reanimates itself and rebuilds itself.
So he's like a super arty, super left of field horror director.
Yeah.
Who... was a big fan of the original H.G. Wells book.
Yeah.
And was really into the kind of bad adaptations of this, which are Twilight People and Terror is a Man, which are old 50s horrors.
Terrorism Man.
Terror is a Man.
I was going to say, that's a shit superhero. Like, imagine you get powers and you become Terrorism Man.
You're like... that's basically pitching superheroes for the boys. But anyway, Richard Stanley was... big fan of the bad adaptations. There was an earlier version of this film from the 70s, right? You watched it.
Yeah, with Burt Lancaster. It's fucking mint.
Right,
it's wicked.
Well, I'll tell you what Richard Stanley, the creator of, or the original director of this film, said about that movie. He said, the original adaptation from 1970s has the distinction of being the first films I ever watched where I was so angry I wanted my money back.
Okay.
Because... the poster for that film has got a woman animorphing into a panther.
Yeah, it does.
Right. And he was expecting that to be in the film.
Yeah.
And when it didn't happen, he was furious.
That's amazing.
Because in his mind, this story was the original H.G. Wells story. It was written at a time, at the same time as Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad, which they turned into Apocalypse Now.
Right.
But it's latter British Empire. So it's British authors who are living in a time where we own a third of the planet.
Right.
It's all run off the back of enslaved people.
Right.
And Charles Darwin's just described evolution.
Okay.
And they're all going, ooh, maybe all these people that our society is propped up on are people and not, as we previously considered them, beast people.
Right.
Because they don't speak English and don't know about Jesus and they're a different color. So we just assumed like there's elephants, we'd never seen them before. Tigers, we'd never seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, dark people. We assumed they were all the same.
Okay.
And that's where you get Heart of Darkness, which is a guy who travels upriver in Africa and slowly begins to realize that everything society is built on is a lie.
Right, okay.
And then the Island of Dr. Moreau, which is a guy making beast people, right?
Sure.
In an off middle of nowhere island.
Yeah.
In a sort of colonial way. The two authors, H.G. Wells and Joseph Conrad, actually fell out over whose idea this was.
Yeah.
They both basically wrote the same story, but from different perspectives, and fell out. And so the whole thing is supposed to be a body horror, god, man, beast, where is the line between them? And that was the original vision. That was the original vision that Richard Stanley had.
It's really hard, because I'm desperately interested in what you're saying, because it's a very fun...
yeah.
Sort of, ooh, isn't this exotic? I've done no research into this because I knew that you were super fucking excited. Yeah. You're sitting here telling me this story.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, all my brain is screaming is the Island of Dr. Moreau, right? I can't piece these together from this literary adventure of like feuding. Oh, how dare you? I discovered that people were people first. I don't know why I do Yorkshire. It's
fucking, David Thewlis is
back. It's burned into my brain. So that's every accent from here on out.
Great.
But so it's hard for me to sort of link these two together.
Right. So Richard Stanley, famed horror director of cult small movies, Hardware, Dust Devil, he's a massive, posh, aristocratic nerd who loves his 50s sci-fi and his sci-fi books. Sure. And he reads The Island of Dr. Moreau and he's like, this is brilliant.
Got you.
This is going to be like H.R. Geiger's Alien, but with genetic splicing. You know the film Splice?
Yeah, mint film.
He wanted to make that but about an entire society that had been spliced up.
And in 1996.
When he was making it, he was looking in the 80s. This was like... This was like, and it was a story set in the Victorian era. He's like, no, we're going to move it up to date. It's going to be like cyberpunk. It's going to be like gene punk. It's going to be cool. It's going to be, and Dolly the Sheep had just been.
Gene punk?
Yeah, I've invented
like
that.
Genetic punk?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've got you.
I think that's my thing now.
This cape is really, it's throwing me off.
This cape is mint. How dare you? My imaginary cape is only going to grow throughout this description of this film, all right?
Yeah.
Some of the things that were going to happen in this movie.
Yeah.
Montgomery was going to get his dick bitten off by a pig.
I want to see that.
Right, exactly.
I want to see that.
Douglas was going to go down on the Panther Woman.
I want to see that.
And he was going to unbutton her top.
Sure.
And then he was going to kiss down her chest to find more nipples.
More. And then so animal tits on a human.
She was going to have her human breasts.
But and then shitloads of them.
And then loads of nipples on her tummy.
Okay.
And then her pubes were going to start from halfway down her body and end at her knees. And that's how he was going to discover that she was a panther woman.
This just sounds great.
Doesn't it?
All sounds great.
This was Richard Stanley's original idea.
Yeah.
He was so on board with it. He got loads of concept art made. Okay. New Line picked it up.
Yeah.
And then they were like, look, we can get Marlon Brando. And originally Moreau was going to be like a Jesus hippie guy, right?
Right.
But they were like, like a David Koresh. And here it is. They threw all that out. They're like, no, it's Marlon Brando now because we can get him.
Sure.
Right? Marlon Brando loved it. He had just done Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. This is like a sister story. So he was like, yeah, I'll go back to that place. It's basically the same fucking character. I can just do that, right?
Sound.
He said he'd do it, but he'd get Polanski to direct. So Richard Stanley's now like, the fuck you will. This is my film.
Right.
You can't just switch directors out on me. I've written this. I've concepted this. I've got this to you. I can't just bring this to you and then you go, mint, I'll do it with my mate, child molesting mate. So he went for a meeting with Brando and he was so nervous about it that he got his magician friend, sorry, his wizard friend that he knew from London to do a magical ritual in which he drew a sigil on the floor and cut his arm and bled all over it. To remove the obstacles to getting this film made. Now, Brando was so impressed with Richard Stanley that he would back him throughout the rest of this film.
Right.
He loved him. He said, yeah, fuck Polanski. We're in this together. And it is a coming together of two absolute mentals who have no business being anywhere near money.
Okay. Love this.
Right.
Love this.
Right. This is before anything went wrong, by the way. This
is the good timeline.
This is the good timeline.
This is the good timeline.
It's about to go so wrong.
The London magician helping out his mate.
Yeah.
Do something creative.
Yeah.
Cuts his arm into a sigil.
Mm-hmm.
Then...
He comes back later in the story, by the way. His bones fall apart.
His bones fall apart.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So it was going to be Bruce Willis was going to be
I've heard that Bruce
Douglas.
Willis was going to be Douglas.
Right, he was going to be Douglas.
Yeah.
James Woods was going to be Montgomery.
God, that would have been amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
And Marlon Brando was going to be Moreau.
Okay.
All good until Bruce Willis gets divorced from Demi Moore.
Sure.
And decides he's not leaving America for the next year because of contract things to do with houses and divorces.
Oh,
and
yeah, sure.
He's like, I've got to stay in the US.
Okay.
So they now need to find a replacement for Bruce Willis.
I got you.
Richard Stanley just bumps into Val Kilmer. Who's just come off the back of Batman. He's like, you'd be perfect for this. Val Kilmer's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Agrees to do the film. A little bit more thought. He goes, actually, I'm too busy to do it. It's too late. You've signed the contract. So Val Kilmer then demands that he only attends 40% of the filming.
Right.
He's not willing to do the full film schedule. So then they go, okay, well, that's not going to work for you being the main character of this film, Val. He goes, I don't care.
Right.
I'm Val Kilmer. I'm Batman. I'm the biggest star in this film. At the moment, you've got James Woods...
Yeah.
Marlon Brando, who's over the hill, and me. So what I say goes, right? And they go, yeah, you're right. You can be Montgomery instead. So James Woods gets booted off the film so that Val Kilmer can no longer play the lead. They are now late into the pre-production of this film.
Okay.
And just cast a new actor for Douglas.
Right, okay.
Who do you think they cast?
I don't know.
Not David Thewlis, who's in the film.
Who would they have cast?
They got Richard Morrow instead.
Richard Morrow?
He was on Due North, Northbound. He was on a TV show. He was a TV actor.
Okay.
They flew them all to Australia.
Yeah.
And stuff started to go very, very wrong. But we'll come back to that.
This story is better than the film so far.
Yeah.
Because the film story is insane. Whilst watching it, I had a lot of moments where, you know, those films that you watch where you have to pause to really let stuff settle in.
Yeah.
And you're
I
don't understand. Don't understand why. So I've got a list here.
Right.
Of stuff that I've just pulled out of the film whilst watching. I've given it a title. So this little segment's going to be called Plot Holes and What the Fucks.
Right, okay. You could argue that this film is more hole than substance.
It's more to be fair.
It's like one of your exes.
There's a few... Oh, God. There's so many jokes to follow up on that. But to be honest, I'm a bigger person. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Now you better. Are.
Yeah. I'm aiming for a cape. You know what I mean? I'm going to show up one day. I'm going to be wearing a cape.
I'll make you a cape.
Douglas. The character.
Our protagonist, who's third on the cast list and doesn't appear on the poster, yes.
Who is a UN ambassador.
Yes.
Who is actively working on the peace treaty. I did that in loose air quotes for anyone that's listening. The peace treaty. Mm. I'm working on the peace treaty.
Between mother and the biscuit shop.
He's a walking plot hole because I don't understand him. It doesn't make sense on a fundamental, I nearly said genetic and then I would have punched myself in the face. On a fundamental molecular level.
Right. How, why
doesn't
not?
Make sense as
why
a human.
Not?
He's dehydrated on a raft with two strangers who are kicking
this
the ever-loving
fucking... This is how the film starts.
This is the first few
seconds.
They
are survivors of the plane crash. There's three on the raft.
They're on the
raft. They've run out of food and supplies and the two other guys on the raft are beating the ever-loving shit out of each other.
They're fighting over the last canteen of water, right?
Yeah.
So you've got these two guys going fucking ham at each other.
Yeah.
And then from nowhere, they knife each other.
Yeah.
Some guy's just got a concealed knife. On a life raft.
Yes.
Of course. And no one's noticed it until now. It's fine.
Well, they've not used
it
to get fish or, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
The shark's in the water. They could conceivably knife a shark.
You know what I mean?
Eat a shark.
Yeah. So, but they don't, though. They stab each other.
Yeah.
And then both fall into the water and get attacked
by
a shark.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So they get attacked by a shark immediately. This guy gets picked up on a fucking wooden ship.
Yeah.
Like a pirate ship.
Yeah.
Sails, rudder, the whole shebang, right? This isn't a normal ship.
No.
And he wakes up to Val Kilmer's character, Montgomery, going,
yes.
I'm not a doctor, I'm a vet. And then stabbing him with like needles and fucking
full of drugs.
All these fluids and shit. Yeah, oh, don't worry about this, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. He gets to this island and they're like, oh, you're going to have to get off. He's like, no, you said you were going to pay him to take me to where I need to be. He's like, nah, you just got to get off.
Yeah.
These guys are party animals, you don't want to be hanging around with them. Oh, God, no.
There's literally a concealed rape threat in the first 2 minutes of the film.
Yeah. He's taken a liking to you.
He's taken a liking to you.
Yeah,
he's going to stay on that boat.
You want to stay on there? He's taken a liking to
you.
This is how it starts, right? If that's any normal person, I'm looking at everything around me and going, fuck no, I need to get away immediately.
Right.
The UN ambassador, who's working on a peace treaty, is like, have you got a room?
Yeah.
Have you got a room?
I'll just have a mooch. You know what? It's been a while since I've had some time off.
Is that your daughter that's dancing to weird Taiwanese electro music? Is this what it is? Oh, you look stunning. She was so beautiful in that shawl. Like, what the fuck are you doing? The guy doesn't even attempt to escape until like the third act.
Yeah, I mean, even then it's pretty half-hearted. I feel like he's a good sort of demonstration of just how much the UN has achieved in the world to date.
Sure.
Given that, you know, that they'll all get together and go, well, this is the law now.
Yeah.
And then countries will not do that. And they'll go, oh, please stop.
Oh, don't.
Please, Please, North Korea.
Well, we said no.
We said
and
no.
You're still bloody doing it.
Kim, you bastard.
God.
Get them nukes back underground.
4 people have died to shark attack rafts. For what? For nothing. You're still doing it. Bloody outrageous.
Right, and I feel like that's on brand.
He's indoctrinated within 12 hours. He's in. Like, he's like, yeah, this seems fine.
Look, if you're looking for things in this plot to make sense, you're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed.
See, it's funny all that you say
need,
this.
All you need is you need some Panther people to turn up, Deus Ex Machina style,
right?
Do, you know, weird threatening dances and then get shot in the back of the head.
Sure.
For breaking the law, which was not to kill things.
Sure. I've got something on the laws, actually.
Right, yeah, please.
This is another point. The laws don't make sense.
Yeah, they do.
They don't. Perfect because, okay, the laws are in place from Moreau,
yes,
who is the law giver.
He's
right?
the god of the
He's
island.
The god
He's
of
the
island.
Father of all. He's made them.
He's the creator. He's the one, right? So when Moreau dies, third of the way into the film, why are they still there?
What do you mean, why are they still there?
There's no one to enforce them. Montgomery couldn't give less of a fuck.
Right.
He could not give less of a shit what's happening.
Right.
He's running around sniffing coke off, you know, pig tits.
Pig women, yeah.
Trying to finger fucking dog women.
Yeah, but when Queen Elizabeth died, it wasn't like there was no law anymore. It wasn't like, well, there's no law.
Queen Elizabeth wasn't a god of an island. She was just an old woman who was like...
That's how I interpreted the law, Ben.
I take a wage.
Yeah. As far as I was aware, Queen Elizabeth had a tiny, smaller version of her that wore the same outfit.
Prince.
That followed her around. Prince.
Yeah.
And Prince Andrew was doing some weird genetic experiments.
Prince Andrew was desperate to find his mini-me, but instead he just kept fucking him.
Well, I just think he was trying to find a half-adult, half-child hybrid.
Ah, and the only way to find out was from the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
God
exactly.
Damn.
So I see why the laws persist. They're trying to... some of them are trying to retain the father's ways.
Why?
Because that was the only, the time of order, and there has to be some...
What order? The order where you've got a pain chip in your ribs, and if you say something wrong, you get crippled
for an hour. But then a better film would have gone into this and gone into where does authority come from?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Because,
and I thought there might
at the
be
end,
touching
in
on this.
Act 3, they've got the hyena pig man who hijacks the pain circuit remote control.
Sure.
Then he kills the other ones that have had their pain circuit removed. So he's the only one immune. And he's like, tell them that I'm God now. Tell them that I'm the authority.
To Douglas, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so that's
He's trying to like... It's
assume
a coup,
control.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's a coup. It's funny that you mentioned the disabling button there, because that disappears for 2/3 of the film and
it's
pops up when
there.
It's needed.
It's barely there.
It's in a drawer. It's there for the whole film. Like, literally, any tiny, minute thing of being sort of like, oh, he might rebel. Pain.
Yeah.
Paralysis chip.
Yeah, I might have more than one remote.
There is guns everywhere. There's this, that, and the other. And a fucking rebellion just takes over. Why? Because Brando couldn't be fucked to do anything other than eat biscuits and play piano. That is literally the fucking thing.
It's funny you should mention Brando couldn't be fucked to do anything, because where did I leave the making of story? Oh, we had our cast of Richard Morrow as Douglas, the lead. We had Val Kilmer, who decided he only wanted to do 40% of the filming, so he became Montgomery.
Sure.
And Marlon Brando, who had been given very definite 4 weeks that he had to be there.
Okay.
The production crew get to the island, they scout locations, they build sets, and they start training the extras, because Brando can't be there immediately. They have to wait for people's production schedules to get there. They spend millions on the prosthetics, and they start training all of the extras.
Millions on the prosthetics.
Yeah. Because each one of them needs to be a cast. So they need to get the actor, cast them, make a silicone head. And there's like, 40, 50 in a scene at once?
Sure.
Crew member then get bit by a poisonous spider because they're in Australia. They're shooting in the rainiest part of Australia that exists.
Essentially, in Australia, if you step off a footpath, you are eaten by a snake.
This, which is what happened. This woman's hand melted because they couldn't get the anti-venom enough. So it dissolved the flesh off her hand permanently.
That's cool as fuck, though.
Right.
That's metal as fuck.
Marlon Brando's daughter, Cheyenne, committed suicide.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll get there when I feel like it.
Fair.
Val Kilmer's like, I've only got 40% of my days.
Yeah.
And I want to get off because I'm literally wasting money making this film when I could be making anything else.
I'm Batman.
I could be doing anything. Instead, I'm spending weeks in where they chose to shoot as well. Was like an hour away from the hotel. It was an hour into the jungle.
Right.
And Richard Stanley, who doesn't direct this film in the end because he gets kicked off, the second director said is, if I go 5 minutes from the hotel, I'm in jungle.
Yeah.
Guess what it looks like? Jungle.
But also,
if I drive another hour, do you know how identical it looks? But
I feel like when you watch The Island of Dr. Moreau, you know that they're an hour away from civilization.
They are, yeah, they are. It's got that miles feeling to away. It,
you know what I mean?
They are miles away.
Because I think 5 minutes from a hotel, if I was staying at a hotel in Australia and I was like, I wonder what the jungle's like. And so, I step out and I see a human pig hybrid running around going, I'm going to New Zealand. So like, there's no fucking way I'm sticking around.
This is where things start to turn. So,
right.
Brando's nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Val doesn't want to come out of his trailer.
Sure.
New Line, who are funding this, this is their first big budget film ever.
Right.
They've done genre pieces before this. And Brando, Kilmer, the prosthetics, the effects, it's all beginning to spiral financially out of control. They start giving note after note after note to Richard Stanley.
Yeah.
Who's in Australia and in LA and can't drive. And in both of those places, you need to learn how to drive. So meetings start happening without him because he can't get to the meetings.
Taxis, trains,
right.
Trams.
But he starts getting super paranoid, starts smoking way too much pot, starts getting way too into the story, just makes thousands and thousands and thousands of storyboards and sends them out and expects people to understand them.
Just imagining a really stoned posh man stumbling out of the woods being like, there's fucking boar people everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening.
That's literally what happens.
Can you help me? Who are you? I'm famed director of the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Right. Kilmer starts ripping into the script in front of everyone.
Yeah.
So he'll be given a scene.
Yeah.
And Richard Stanley will be like, can you do this? He goes, well, how are you going to cut that together? And he goes, oh, well, what's going to happen is Thewlis will be on the boat. He'll get hit on the back of the head.
Right.
And it'll smash cut to you.
Right.
And he's like, no, that's not going to work. There's no point filming it. That's not going to work.
Right.
And everyone there's like, that's a really standard storytelling technique.
Yeah.
You know, like the person goes unconscious, there's a time skip.
Yeah.
Kilmer's like, nah.
No.
There's instance where Kilmer's off to the side of the camera, reading his off-camera lines, getting bored, just getting a lit cigarette and burning hair of the cameraman whilst the cameraman's trying to get the shot.
He's doing anything he can
to get kicked off this movie. Brando is still not on set.
Fair. He's Brando. The extras
have started like a kind of drugs and sex commune on the edge of set.
Incredible.
Because they're so bored because no one knows what's going to be shot that day. So the special effects team have to get every extra into costume.
Right.
Fully prostheticed up.
Right.
Finished as if they're going to have a close-up because who knows, maybe they will.
Sure.
For that cast member to then sit...
For six weeks.
Well, for the 10 hours of that day, in the heat of the jungle, with the prosthetics melting.
This is just a furry farm. This is just bred hundreds of furries.
And then just, they were all getting paid above union rates. So as soon as they'd spent that 10 hours doing nothing in full prosthetics, they just went and had a party time.
Fucking awesome.
And then a hurricane hit.
Sound.
Washing most of the sets out to sea.
Right.
Brando still wasn't on set.
This is mint. I love everything that's happening so far because I feel like there's been so many red flags that they should have just not done it.
Right.
Give Burt Lancaster a ring. You know what I mean? Buddy, how'd you do this?
I think the thing is the Burt Lancaster version is the version that works, right?
Yeah, it's like early Planet of the Apes.
Early Planet of the Apes, quite middle of the road. It doesn't get into any of the gaudy stuff, doesn't get into any of the human nature stuff.
There's like subtle nods.
But it's not Alien 3 in a jungle.
No, it's not absolute bullshit in a jungle. I agree with you. It's not Alien 3 in a jungle.
But if you're trying to crossbreed Apocalypse Now and Alien, that's what the vision was. And what was being filmed was like the llama scene. Or the scene in the rough where like people are beating each other to death.
Right.
There's horrific Cronenberg monsters. Mm-hmm. There's like, it's quite dark. It's quite arty. It's quite out there. And it's quite extreme.
Yeah.
Richard Stanley gets fired.
Okay.
Because this has just been an absolute nightmare. He's never done anything this big.
Okay.
And Marlon Brando then turns up, hasn't read the script, refuses to read the script.
I love this guy.
And just starts improvising scenes.
Amazing. That's how I want to live my life.
Right.
I want to be given a job. I want to show up when I show up and then go, don't care what I'm supposed to be doing, mate. Just have someone whisper it to me.
Yeah. Well, that's literally it. He was being fed. He's being fed lines through an earpiece.
That's what
that
I want.
He'd then repeat.
That's my career. That's what I want
to
do.
He picked his own costume. His little mini-me clone was not meant to be in the film for more than two shots.
Okay.
But Brando saw him and went, that's my new assistant.
Amazing.
And the man who had 20 pages of dialogue written as Moreau's assistant basically got cut from the film.
I reckon he took that on the chin because he'd have been like, yeah, to be fair, that's a better mini-me than I could be. You know what I mean?
Right. Not quite, no.
Oh, that's surprising. No, that's genuinely shocking.
He fell out with what was the actor's name? Sorry. It was...
Hubert.
No,
Edward. Langdon.
Nelson De La Rosa.
That was the next one. That was my next guess.
That was the next one,
That
yeah.
was my next guess.
Nelson De La Rosa fell out so hard with the German actor who played, who was going to be Moreau's assistant, that he hit him directly in the bollocks.
Amazing.
By like Superman punching upwards.
Oh yeah, because he's like 2 foot tall.
He's 17 inches high, yeah.
It's amazing.
And the German actor was like, what can I do in response to that? Because I can't kick him.
I would.
You would, yeah.
Yeah, you can kick him. You, of course you can. You've just been punching the dick. Kick him. What are you talking about? You're massive.
Kilmer and Brando didn't get on because Kilmer was desperate to chat to him. Because he's Marlon Brando. He's
yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh my God,
everyone's
right.
going to be obsessed
he goes,
with
him. Oh, Marlon, have you had a chance to get out on the reef yet? Mm-hmm. Brando replied, reef? I own a reef. I own hundreds of reefs. If I want to see a reef, I'll see a reef. Don't talk to me again.
I want reef money. That's
right.
That's the goal.
Right.
I want
and
my new career
it.
To be not knowing what I'm doing,
right.
and I want it to earn me reef
money.
So
then there were days of shooting that were wasted because Brando wouldn't come out of his trailer
right.
until Kilmer came out of Kilmer's trailer, but Kilmer wouldn't come out of his trailer till Brando came out of Brando's trailer. They all just started festering and fighting with each other whilst smoking loads of drugs,
right.
having loads of sex, in the rainiest part of Australia,
right.
dodging hurricanes.
Okay.
Before then, Frankenheimer, the new director, gets flown in.
Sure.
And makes everything 1,000 times worse.
Perfect. Perfect. I feel like this is a good point to bring in some more plot holes.
Well, please do.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
You were talking about Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Montgomery.
He does.
What is Montgomery's character arc? Spoiler. There isn't one.
There isn't, no.
Because
he starts as a drug-addled PhD doctor who's both in awe but also jealous of Moreau's work.
Possibly.
And then
there's no way to tell.
Ends it as a drug-addled animal
PhD
fucker.
Scientist who's jealous of
Moreau's
work.
Ends up dressed as him.
But also fucks Moreau's work.
Yeah.
He arrives on screen. He's erratic as fuck. He turns to drug and alcohol for no reason.
No.
For fun, I guess. We've all been there, you know what I mean? And then he transforms from that into an erratic god wannabe.
Right, yeah.
And then dies for no reason.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing happens for a reason in this film.
But this is the point. I feel like that's the best theme that this film brings to the table.
Almost certainly it is.
Yeah.
It feels like a commentary, unwittingly and unintentionally. It feels like the point of this film is things just happen.
Yeah.
And you can walk around and say, oh, it's because God says so, or because humans make it so, or because that's nature. And all of those answers are wrong.
Yeah.
Stuff just happens.
I think the real theme of this movie is xenophobia. Don't travel, because horrible, weird shit's going to happen to you. That's the theme of it.
People over there are animals.
It's utter beast people. But no, like the movie, it's supposed to look at like the ethics of creation.
It's supposed to.
Human nature.
Yeah.
The failure of playing God.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But they're so fucking buried under terrible dialogue. Like, and I mean, I was literally just about to say, oh, I'll splice something in for a social. It'd just be the film.
It would just be the film.
It'd be
the whole film.
An hour and 40 of mumbling nonsense of people going, and it's a major plot point. And you're like, I've got no fucking clue what just happened.
All of the characters have got made up animal hybrid names that all sound identical and aren't words.
None of them are fucking words. And every single character needs to be in a different movie. But they've all just been smashed in together. It's like if the multiverse went wrong, right?
Yeah. Every scene in this film is a scene from a different genre of film.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because when Richard Stanley left the production, it went from being an art house horror, body horror movie, to Frankenheimer coming in and just going, I'm just going to finish this film.
Yeah, just get
it done.
So
we're going to do a beginning, middle and end.
Just get it done.
And we don't care for genre, we're just getting it done.
Yeah.
And he did that by just abusing everybody.
Fair.
By just literally abusing everybody.
I mean, everyone in the film, everyone in the universe of Dr. Moreau is abusing everyone else.
Right,
like, that's
right.
All, it kind of fits. I mean, almost, that's almost my definition of a perfect film. the filmmakers emulating what's happening on
careful,
screen.
Because you
that's almost it.
Careful, because you're hitting spoiler territory for later in the episode.
that is almost it. The one thing that I really need to think about, and the one thing that this really brought to my mind, is the genetics of the island, right? Mm. So the work of Dr. Moreau.
Yes. Is pointless.
How? How? So right. The genetic side of it, it's never touched on. It's never explained.
They don't do the Jurassic Park thing of like, we use a frog. Yeah. And none
see,
of
this
that.
Is the thing. We don't take DNA from specimen A and DNA from specimen B.
Not covered. He just does it.
Splice it. But how does it work in this?
I think it's meant to be left intentionally vague so that you as a viewer go, he's fucking him.
Okay. But is he though?
Because I don't think he is, but I think it wants to...
Because my first thought was like, oh, maybe it's a surgical thing, right? Maybe it's like they're actively
splicing. It's not taxidermy. He's not just stitching a pig to a hyena.
That's how DNA works. You take a bit of DNA from one, a bit of DNA, and then you stitch it together with DNA C.
Right.
And there you go. Lamb baby.
Right. DNA thread.
Llama person. Right. That's how this works.
I'm not sure that is, but okay.
Clones? So they take a bit of DNA.
Yeah, that's
so that's what you're leaning to.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards he's getting a sperm and an egg, and he's removing the whatever genes it is that make them incompatible,
right?
And then raising them from children.
But then, to do that, he's using IVF treatment on already successfully mutated thing. But then this brings up the whole thing: how did you get the first birth from a human woman?
Mm.
Because it's from. Because we see the llama birth, like the llama with the 6 human tits is giving birth like a person.
Yeah.
So would the first experiment
Yeah, but let's be fair, this isn't the first time women have been written out of a creation story.
No, but I mean, it's the most creative way.
true. No, I feel like you've sort of tried to zoom out, but you've only gone halfway there, which is...
None taken.
Which is, no, what's... I think your question leads to a grander question.
Okay.
What's the point of his experiment?
Oh.
What's he achieving?
So without being able to control cheetah people, you can't...
I think there's a full stop there.
Can't use
without being able to control cheetah people.
You can't.
You can't.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of.
Get in touch with Nike next time they need a slogan. I think that's it.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't...
Don't.
That's it. I love this. The genetics are like the genetics are the one thing. And that's the thing that kept me ticking over all the way through this film. Because I was just looking at the different fucking furries. And I was like, what are you? What are you spliced from? Because you've got 6 tits, you've got a dog face, and you've got fucking spider legs. What are we doing? Why is this? What was your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite character, by a long shot, is Ron Perlman's goat man, the blind goat man.
Yes.
Who is essentially there to be like a priest, I guess.
He's the sayer of the law. Yes. So Marlon Brando's God character creates the laws.
He does.
And then
you need the goat
sayer
man
of the law is
to fucking reinforce the law.
Yeah.
Do you know what the laws are?
I'd love to
Do you
hear
want them.
Them? I want them.
There's 5.
They all make sense.
Okay, this is the laws. Not to go on all fours. That is the law. Are we not men?
Right. From the film. Don't go on all fours.
Yeah, so that encourages
that
bipedal movement.
That's slut behavior.
It is slutty.
Yeah.
We're not sluts on this island.
That's what it is. Dr. Moreau is saving them from himself.
It's chastity.
He's
island.
Like, don't get on all fours in front of me.
Yeah.
That's for their safety.
I'm telling you, because I'm either eating or fucking.
Right.
And I'm fresh out of biscuits.
Right, exactly.
So what are we doing?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
David Thewlis ate them all whilst... Was narrating a brass band.
Can't get on the McVitties. So that's encouraging these hybrids to reject their animal nature.
Yeah,
I get
yeah.
that. That's a sound law, right? Not to eat flesh. That is the law.
I mean, you lived like
Are
that for
we
a while.
Not men? That's another quote from the
Right,
film,
okay.
By the way.
Yeah. But then you lived like that for a long while. You obeyed that law for a while. You didn't eat flesh.
Yeah, but it was for different reasons.
Yeah, it's because you were whipped.
Is that a fucking wasp?
Yeah.
No.
He's the co-host.
No, I can't.
Ben, you're going to have to accept the
Mate,
new co-host.
Mate, you can fuck right off. Like,
do you want me to let the co-host out?
He's going to be our co-host.
He's going to be
upset.
Is
this why there's a cook chair in the corner for the fucking wasp?
Yes.
Bro.
Do you remember when we covered Dracula and we talked about how one of Dracula's brides is a wasp and I've just moved above a funeral home?
Right. So, okay.
The wasp
there's
is
a lot
gone
of
now.
Terry Pratchett around here as well.
Yeah.
This is all adding up now. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I want to go home.
I've got my cape. I've
this
got my
is...
wasp.
Dude, that wasp is fucking huge.
It's all right. Do you want me to let the wasp out?
It's fine. I'm telling you now, if I get stung, I'm
You're not
going to
get
summon.
Stung. Okay.
Summon. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Sound. Okay. Third law.
Yeah.
I'm so on edge. I fucking hate this. The not to, okay, second law, not to eat flesh. You get that. No meat eating. It kind of, it suppresses the predatory thing of like the animal side. Yeah, yeah? So there's none of that shit. Again, rejecting human nature. Are you looking at the wasp? Because no. I'm freaking out, man. Don't do this because you just look behind me. Is
no,
it behind
I'm literally
me?
Just not making eye contact because it's quite intimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not behind
no.
me. Okay, sick. I hate this. Third law, not to spill blood. That is the law. Are we not men?
Okay, I mean, that's related to the second law.
Well,
no, because you can have a fist fight and blood can be spilled. You've got no intention of eating the person you're fighting outside
a Wetherspoons.
Then what's
the point in fighting?
Okay, every time you got in a fight outside a chip shop, are you planning on eating your enemy's
only,
heart?
I only fight for love.
Right, okay.
I'm a lover.
You're a lover, not an eater.
Yeah, fisticuffs, dinner.
Right, okay, you know what I mean? Fine. Yep.
Dinner
yep.
and a movie. Fourth law. His is the hand that makes... That is the law.
How, okay, so just a quick question about his is the hand that makes.
Yeah, go for it.
How do I follow that?
You don't, because it's nonsense.
Right,
and
okay.
Also, he dies one third of the way into the film. So after that, that law is null and void.
Yeah, because nothing makes. Nothing gets made.
Nothing gets made. Well, no, it does, though. Because Moreau isn't in the fucking operating theater doing his thing. It's mutants that are trained to be surgeons
or
doctors.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, they could. Well,
they could make.
But they might not know how to make the serum.
Well, the serum has come.
Right. Maybe not. Okay, yeah.
The serum has come.
Yeah, now
it's
I think
come.
About it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the way that they're all fucking each other, it's not a finite resource. It's not
fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a fair bit of that displayed in this film.
Yeah. This one's problematic. We are his children. He is our father.
Yes.
So the serum that we're talking about there that is obviously being... given to subjects
right,
that
but
have been
then,
made
but
from
then
his serum.
You say that, but then in the as I imagine these are taken verbatim from the book.
Sure.
I imagine that they would have been quite an interesting and relevant critique of Christian mythology with
1,000%.
Take of this sure. for it is my body.
Yeah, I like this.
Why am I putting Jesus's body in my mouth?
Yeah.
You know, or like, oh, take of this is my blood. It's like, it's based
I've
on
seen pictures. He's
vampirism
ripped.
Of a ripped baby.
A third into the film, Moreau dies.
Yeah.
Montgomery doesn't give a fuck about the laws. He's not going to enforce it. The lawsayer is a blind goat man. You can literally just don't make a noise and walk out of the village. You don't have to pay attention to the laws anymore.
No, of course not.
But the only thing is that was keeping them in check is the pain chips that's been injected into their ribs, like very lightly on the surface.
Yeah,
on the
you
outside
can
of a rib.
Feel them from
you can feel
your
them
skin,
through the
yeah.
skin. Yeah. So that was the only thing that was like scarily keeping them in check.
Yeah.
To enforce these laws.
Yeah.
That now has no one to enforce them because the fresh capture. The UN ambassador, who's not doing anything for the last 2 hours.
He's done very little.
He's done nothing.
Yeah,
fair. He's tried to fuck a panther woman. That's the only thing
and
he brings to the table.
And he's not even done that. He's
he doesn't
not even
try to escape. He tries to fuck the panther lady.
And fails.
He doesn't, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't, though. She'd rather die than
no,
fuck
I think
a Yorkshireman.
She's kind of into him. And then she gets lynched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right. Right, okay. You count that as a rejection, do you?
No, it's just more sort of like...
If you're into a girl and she dies, you're like, bitch.
If that wet-mouthed Yorkshireman came up to me and was like, oh my, you can dance to that fucking... You can dance to that Taiwanese
electro
all fucking day along there, lovey. I'd be like, hang me. Lynch me immediately.
Yeah, to
get
be
me
fair,
gone.
We don't know what
you know
suicide.
What I mean?
That's
slimy
fair.
Bastard that's just washed up on shore and it has no intention of leaving because he's, I think... He saw what was going on and was like, there's something here for me.
Mm.
I think there's something here for me. I could thrive if I could get the if I can get the dynamics right.
Right.
If I can get my hands on the power buzzer that disappears for two-thirds of the film, there's something here for me.
Yeah, I do feel like if you've got one thing keeping your society together, which is the remote that controls the pain chips inside all of the feral beast people, of which you've created hundreds.
Yeah.
He just has it on like a necklace that he stores in a drawer at night.
Yeah.
I'd maybe have like control panels around that you could access maybe if you lost your necklace.
Just a fucking, you can put chips in things that actively work as like pain
Get an
chip.
App.
Get an app.
Get an app.
Get a smartwatch. You've invented pigmen.
Right.
You can put a fucking phone in a watch. You know what I mean?
Here's where I'm going to, I alluded to it earlier when you mentioned this might be a perfect film, Ben.
Yeah.
It is. When Richard Stanley, the original director, was kicked off the film, they made the crew double check that he got on the plane. They were like, it was part of the contract that they would pay him his full fee.
Right.
As long as he did not come within 40 miles of the production.
Right, okay.
Right?
Right.
And they paid him to get on the plane, mm-hmm. and then he went missing.
Mm.
They did not know where he had gone.
Love this so
they
far.
They were freaking out about it.
He genetically spliced himself into the local wildlife.
You're not wrong.
Sick.
He went wild, lived in the local rainforest.
Posh nerds gone wild.
Yeah. Found a hut nearby with a man who had no legs.
Amazing.
Lived with a man with no legs.
Okay.
Smoked loads of pot.
Sure.
And just lived. And then met up some extras who'd spilled out from the drinking drug sex camp that they had on the side of the set.
Yeah.
They went exploring because they wanted to find the man with no legs because they're like, oh, he'd be great as an extra because he'd be, you know, we could have him cast as a creature with no legs, slug man or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then they bump into this guy. They're like, oh my God, you're the original writer and director of this movie who's been kicked off a third of the way into production.
Ooh, he marauded it.
He marauded it. And what's more than that, he was desperately curious to see what was going on.
Why?
Because it was his baby. It was his
baby.
Love. It was his love. It was his creation.
Fuck.
He wanted to see how his terrifying, disgusting hybrid creation was going.
I'd have put this baby up for adoption.
So they snuck out a costume off the set of a dog man.
Amazing.
And then got him onto set as a prostheticed up dog man.
Perfect.
So now you've got the original writer-director
working
as an extra on the film that he's been kicked off.
Incredible.
So you've got the godlike creator reduced to a dog man.
Incredible.
It's a perfect movie.
I like this. I like this a lot.
He gets kicked off a third of the way through, and he comes back as a dog.
Well, I can't argue with any of this logic.
Right.
It's god to dog. And it's...
Right.
Turn the letters around.
Exactly.
Oh, it's... What do you call that in the English? It's a parallelogram.
It's a palindrome if it's in the middle. I don't
palindrome.
Know.
Palindrome.
Yeah.
That was the word.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Kaleidoscope, I think.
Yeah. It might still be one.
Might still be one.
I've got two segments to bring.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie. I ran out of steam because I was watching this film and I was like, I can't keep up with how fucking mental everything
is. It's too mental.
It's like, too mental.
We've covered a tiny amount of how mental this film is. There is so much that happens in it that we just don't have time to get into.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. But also, it makes the most amount of sense because I feel like everyone that was working on this film immediately clocked into how much of a fuck around it was going to be.
Oh, 100%.
For the 6 weeks or however long production was supposed to be. And they just were like, we're going to get paid so much money to be in this weird fucking 100%. Film that no one's going
to
see.
It just became a cash cow to everybody. And the second you lost the original visionary director, everyone just went, let's just get it done. Let's get moved on.
Get it done.
Let's
get out. Can't be fucked.
And
let's move on.
It's such a perfect indication of what happens when you've got somebody who's going for a wild idea and they're not allowed to finish it and then everyone tries to pull it back to normalcy, you end up with this weird hybrid of it's neither art house or mainstream. It's just weird in the middle.
It's just fucking weird. So I've written two little segments that I thought could be fun. This one is a working title. I need to really hone in on what it is.
Right.
So the working title is Top 10 Times Animals Have Been Crossed With Humans For Confusing And Unclear Results.
Ooh.
Snappy, right?
Love it.
Thank you. It's all alliteration as well.
Oh, nice.
Number one, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good one.
It's the one we're covering.
Yeah, it's a solid film. number two, The Fly.
Yeah, fair.
Perfect one. Three, Splice.
Great film.
Great film. Number four, American Werewolf in London.
Super cool
transition shots of like...
less mad scientist and more...
tourist.
Yeah, mad tourist.
number five, The Shape of Water.
How is that?
Sally Hawkins.
Right.
Gills. She's part fish.
She's part fish.
She 100% part fish. And she wanks in a bathtub.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Fair, yeah.
Like a fish out of water.
But
know what I mean?
I don't... Put it like
I can't get over it, to be honest. Can't ever see her in anything else. Number six, X-Men First Class. Beast.
I mean, yeah, X-Men generally.
Technically.
But they're not. Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right, let's just move on. Number seven, Pan's Labyrinth.
No.
Yeah.
The mythical monsters.
Hybrid.
Okay. Right.
Eight, Harry Potter.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, because you got the old bitch that turns into a cat.
McGonagall.
I don't know the cat's name.
Right, okay. Well, we neither do we. We know she's McGonagall when she's human.
Oh, that's very... How tall is 25 of you?
I know.
Let's not dead name the cat.
No.
Okay.
Stolen joke.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah-ish. Yeah. I mean, they're apes that have evolved. They've not been hybridized with them.
Nah.
They're
hybrids.
They're apes a million years from now.
Nah.
Okay.
He goes back in time.
Prehistoric France.
Prehistoric France. That's where it is, man. And then number 10, cats. Because in Cats, they genetically changed James Corden to be a cunt.
No, he was always that.
He was.
That's just how he's been.
All right, okay, so the top 9 times animals have been crossed with humans for confusing and unclear results, plus one time that we all figured out that James Corden has always been a cunt.
That's fair. Yeah.
Final title.
Okay, as segments go,
yeah,
you started really strong.
Yeah, it only gets stronger.
Right, okay.
It only gets stronger. Right, you ready for this one? Top 10 movies where animals have human tits.
Okay.
Number 1. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, that's definitely...
1996.
The film we're covering, yep.
Number 2, Howard the Duck, 1986.
Yeah.
There's a duck in the shower with human tits.
Yeah.
It's very early on as well. It's upsetting how fast that happens.
Okay, number 3?
That's all I've got.
Great.
That one's a work in progress, though. We can update this one as
yeah,
we can.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm into that.
I wanted to leave some breathing room.
Sure.
So it's room for improvement.
What are you going to rate Dr. Moreau? Because it's unrateable.
It's okay. So the film itself,
yeah,
is a fucking fever dream.
It is.
It's
nonstop.
It's weird prosthetics.
It is.
It's mumbling dialogue.
Yeah.
At key plot points,
yeah,
you cannot hear the dialogue at all.
No, nothing happens for a reason.
I had subtitles on, and it's just nonsense because the AI doing the subtitling
can't figure it out.
It couldn't pick up what it was doing. So that was happening, and the philosophical monologues that are just randomly thrown in by Marlon Brando in whiteface.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
dude. At the end of the film, I was a changed person. Mm. Like, it changed me on a fundamental level for all the wrong reasons, but also made me question: is this one of the best films I've ever seen?
This is kind of where I was leaning.
See, it's difficult. All the way through, I'm like, nonsense, stupid, nonsense.
Yes.
At the end, nonsense, love it, stupid.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I doing? Love this, stupid. Do I love this though?
Right.
And then I started getting into it.
Because I feel like it's, all of that is true.
Yeah.
But it ends up with such a unique film. I've never seen anything like it.
Dude.
I will never see anything like it
again. Nothing like this exists. Dude,
right.
It's like, some scenes,
right,
goofy B-movie parody gold.
Mm-hmm.
Other scenes, fucking Lynchian horror.
Right, right.
Other scenes are like fucking utter... It's like Fight Club at one point when Val Kilmer's descending into the belly of the
right.
something.
Right.
Whatever where the fuck he goes to, I've got no clue, but they're holding a church in it.
Right.
This whole thing that's happening, it doesn't commit to any of it, though.
No.
It peppers bits of it throughout all of it, just...
It's like a movie salad.
It's a fucking
conflicting
salad.
Ingredients.
Yeah, one of them's human feces. The other one is like
drywall.
Candy sprinkles, and the rest is drywall. Yeah. It's insane. 10, fat 10.
I think I'm going to go fat 10.
Fat 10,
fat 10. I didn't enjoy it, and it's not a good film, but
it's amazing.
It's unique.
It's
and
hilarious.
For somebody who's seen a lot of films, I could not. If you'd sat me down and said, "What happens in this film?" I would not have said anything that did.
Yeah, I can't talk to you about it. What's the main takeaway from the film? I couldn't tell you. Literally, I could not tell you.
You're going to have to do that in a minute. So just before we leave, we'd like to shout some people out.
Oh, yes. We need to shout out our Patreon absolute legends. We've got Rose, Bruising Toaster, Bradavial, Michaela. Thank you so fucking much for supporting us.
Big time.
You are like insane. Absolute legends for a reason. Let us know what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Get in touch with us.
We've said in the intro video, let us know what you want. Get in touch with us and be sort of like, listen, dickheads, do this.
Yeah, we are sending complimentary t-shirts to all of you. There's just been a bit of a hold up. We are getting it sorted, and then you will all get them at the same time rather than in dribs and drabs, which is what would have happened if we'd not held everyone back. But your t-shirts are on the way, we promise.
We love you all so very dearly.
We really do.
Thank you all for hanging out with us, and thank you for the support. It means the absolute fucking world.
It really does.
Now go tell your mates.
Go tell your mates.
Go tell your mates how fun it is.
We're on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on all that kind of stuff. Your comments mean the world. Your shares really help the algorithm. So please do that.
Send us an email. Which is the most fuckable fish?
That's not what I would have led
with.
Is
the pipe fish the sluttiest fish? Do you know a sluttier fish?
Okay.
Do you know a sluttier fish than the pipe fish?
And personal anecdotes will be...
deleted.
No, they'll be
judged and then deleted.
They'll be read out on it. In the meantime, I'm just going to say thank you for joining us. And we know a lot of you listen at the start of the week. It's a Monday for a lot of you. You need a little bit of motivation, need a bit of a pep talk. So Ben's going to sum up neatly, tidily, and concisely
the themes
of this movie in a way to thank you for your time while I just tell you to consume.
I think the main lesson here is street magic is a dangerous sport to get involved with, because you end up with a wizard cutting his arm to a circle on the floor to make sure that your film gets made. But the film that you're trying to make is just the biggest I'm down so bad that you've ever seen, because it is literally just, it's six human tits on a llama giving birth with legs and stirrups, and street magic got in there.